Yeah, it's recording now.
Guys, I thought today we would just do a little bit in the yom, a little bit almost like a freestanding So some of you may have been listening to some of the shiurim that we gave during Chodesh Elul, some of the Torah shiurim, and we spoke a lot about the din derabanan of Gezeirah Shem Yehavi. We read about Amos B'Shusser Abim, the fact that we did not blow shofar just nearly 2 weeks ago on Shabbos, even though in the Torah one is required to blow shofar, even on Shabbos we pass in. Nevertheless, with the Rabbanon, one doesn't blow shofar because we're afraid you may come to carry the shofar. So that identical Gezeirah is going to be expressed tomorrow morning as well. It's from tomorrow morning, the first day of Sukkot. So we are bound by the mitzvah in the Torah, kachta b'chamim marisham, this mitzvah deraisa to take the Levin Esrog. It's the only mitzvah deraisa, short of the mikdash, so it's only mitzvah deraisa only on the first day. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that we're not going to shake the lulav tomorrow either for the exact same reason. Though min haTorah, there's nothing wrong with taking a lulav and eser. The worst that a lulav is muktzah on Shabbos, but nevertheless, one is not permitted. It wouldn't be muktzah if there would be a mitzvah taken. It wouldn't be muktzah. The same way in yontif, a branch is theoretically could also be muktzah on yontif, but if the branch is miyuchadikah for the mitzvah, then it wouldn't be muktzah. So there's really no reason not to take the lulav on Shabbos. But the reason is that Chazal were concerned with the same fear that Gezeirah Shem Yehavi Reneged on Amos B'Shusser Rabim. And Gemara says in Masechet Yerushalayim, Masechet Sukkah, also there's a third Gezeirah that was instituted together. That was Kriyas HaMegillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos, which our calendar doesn't allow, but our calendar would enable Shushan Purim to fall out on Shabbos, which in fact it does this year. So again, one does not read the Megillah. Unlike shofar and lulav, which basically get lost because of that gezeira, Chris Megillah you have a little bit of a to rectify later the day before. So Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos this year, so they laid the Megillah on Friday. But lulav gets lost entirely, at least the first day. The deraisa lulav actually gets lost this year because of the gezeira Shem Yehavi Reneged on Amos B'Shusser Rabim. So I had a fascinating shaila last night that I got, which involved a carrying issue that, strangely enough, had nothing to do with shofar, nothing to do with lulav. It had to do with the mitzvah yeshiva basukkah. So I thought I would share with you just a little bit of the details of the some of the details of the shaila in terms of how the mitzvah yeshiva basukkah is ran into a potential clash with the issur of carrying on Shabbos. I received the following call late last night. It came through, I don't know who exactly, who was even asking the shaila. It came to me through one of my NCSY contacts, was asking on behalf of somebody. Apparently there were some teenagers who were in an area, not in from area, but an area where there was no Eruv. The only sukkah, after a lot of, maneuvering, they were able to construct some kind of a sukkah. But the only access to the sukkah was to an area that was not enclosed by an Eruv. And the question was, what, if anything, are they permitted to do in terms of carrying in a situation, an area where otherwise they would not be permitted to carry in order to help facilitate the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah? So obviously on yontif, this wouldn't be a problem. On yontif, one is allowed to carry food. Everybody agrees you're allowed to carry food on yontif. That's the posting chumash. Ochel nefesh for food is obviously permissible. There was machlokes at the time between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about whether you're allowed to carry other kinds of things. Say you're allowed to push a baby carriage, or carry a lulav, or carry a sefer, things like that. So Beis Shammai says those things are prohibited, and we pass the mitzvah, and those things are permissible. The further machlokes is that only limited to certain tzarchei yom, is that apply to all things? Again, those are details. But fundamentally, if we have to carry food to the sukkah on yontif, would really be that's really a no-brainer. That's for sure mutter. Problem is that the first day of yontif is here for us to Shabbos. So they wanted to know, is there any grounds whatsoever? So the person who presented the question, asked it in a very, very lomdish way. He said to me, well, eating the sukkah is a mitzvah min haTorah, and the area in question of carrying is only a derabanan, because we're not talking about a major, a thoroughfare, we're not talking about anything that even resembles it. It's wildest dreams. Eruv shesarav deraisa, those are the yomi and Ervin. Well, remember sugyas earlier on in the Masechta about what qualifies as Eruv shesarav deraisa and what doesn't. Suffice it to say that in order to be a violation of carrying min haTorah, the area has to be what's called Rosh Hashanah min haTorah. In all the birushas Ram deraisa, there are a whole series of different criteria that have to be met. And this particular, without getting into the nuances, because even right now, this particular area fell short on multiple levels. There was no way in the world the description of this very, very small alleyway kind of an area was anywhere near Rishus Ram deraisa. So the question was presented to me, well, the Yisr carrying is only the Rabbanon, and it's going to be able to facilitate fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah in the Torah. Should we be able to almost look the other way? Should we be able to say it almost like, I don't know, the literally formulated with this lamdish terminology, but I think this is what they were driving at. Should the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah almost trump, should it override the mitzvah of the Yisr, the Rabbanon, of carrying under these circumstances? So I responded, it's a fascinating lamdish, but it's not true. It's not true because it's against the Beferish Mishnah. And the Mishnah actually is in the context of Rosh Hashanah. So we're still 2 weeks after Rosh Hashanah. We said that still, hopefully, the Kiyah Shofar should stay with us, hopefully, the whole year. You're supposed to remember the Kol Shofar for the entire year. But at least the Sugya Rosh Hashanah, hopefully, will last us a little bit as well. So actually, the Mishnah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, talks about almost the same kind of a question. The Mishnah talks about what if the only Shofar that's available to a person will necessitate violating an Isser, but the Isser that's going to have to be violated would only be an Issa Derabbanan. What would be some examples of this? So the Mishnah talks about what if the only shofar of town that happens to be atop the tree? What fool put the shofar on top of the tree? I can't tell you. But the only shofar in town is on top of the tree. But now the question becomes, am I allowed to be Eila B'Ilan in order to get the shofar? So normally, then with Shabbos, it's in Yom Tov. So Shabbos is not blowing anyway. So in Yom Tov, regularly, the shofar falls on a weekday. So now, on the one hand, they have a mitzvah deraisa tkiya shofar. On the other hand, they have an issa derabbanan mitzvah deilan. The Mishnah says, the enemy says, Neitza, that there was an issa midrabbanan, there was a prohibition midrabbanan to climb a tree on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why the Chazal institute this issa? Because Gezeir Hashem Yitlach, we're afraid that if you climb up the tree, so you may break off one of the branches of the tree, make a break off something off the tree, and that would be a problem of kaitzer. So the Gemara says very, very clearly that this issa applies bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yom Tov. Taisism was that his beitza, and the Gimel is a big, big problem. Why should this gezeirah apply on Yom Tov? Why should there be any Isra of Tolish on Yom Tov altogether? Let's say the regular Isra of Tolish is part of the Isra of Kotzer. Why is it also to harvest on Yom Tov? Let's say I want to harvest my grain, I want to make my bread. Why is that brought? Why isn't that called Echol Nefesh? Well, the Gemara is the favorite in the Gimel is that his beitza. If you have an apple that's found, you walk by the tree on Yom Tov and you find an apple in the floor, you're not allowed to eat that apple. Why? That's what's called Peirush HaNoshrin. Fruit that fell on the floor is also midrabanan, gezeirah shemayitlosh. We're afraid that you may come to, if you like the apple, and the next thing you know is you'll pluck another apple off the tree. So the Gemara says explicitly that is a midrabanan, Peirush HaNoshrin applies, bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yom Tov. So Taisus wants to know, why is it also on Yom Tov? What's wrong with the plucking apple? And why is that Echol Nefesh? So Tosis quotes one opinion that it would be an issa min haTorah. They try to show you based on Sukkim, Sham, the whole story, why plucking fruit on Yom Tov would be an issa deraisa, even though it's echol nefesh. And the Rambam holds that Tachan only an issa derabanan to pluck fruit min haTorah. Tachan is covered by the rules of echol nefesh. So again, everyone agrees that lemaisa echol nefesh is mutter. Everyone agrees that lemaisa you're not allowed to pluck fruit or break branches on Yom Tov. We're just not sure whether those actions are issa min haTorah or issa min derabanan. But whatever it is, the Mishnah says, no, you're still not allowed to be Ilan on Yom Tov. Whatever the Lomdus is, there are Isis, there are Abundance, concerns, there is a Gezerah, there are Abundance, ain't all of Ilan, baby Shabbos, baby Yom Tov. So the only way to get a shofar is to climb the tree, so that would be a problem. And the Mishnah says, it's better not to hear shofar that year rather than to violate it and say, there are Abundance. And the same is true for other Isis, there are Abundance. Let's say the only way to get a shofar would necessitate would be Mukta. So the Mishnah says, you can't do that either. Let's say the only way to get a shofar would be to go out of the Tchum. Even though those who learned Afyom, we just saw an Erevin a couple of days ago. There's one Tana, Rabbi Akiva, who says that the violation of going more than 2,000 amos is an issa min haTorah. Mostly everybody else disagrees with that. We paskin that tchumen at least of 2,000 amos for sure only midrabanan. As machlekes the Rambam and others about what if the tchumen of what's called Yud Beis Mil, what if it's a very, 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 very large distance, traveling the distance of the Machane Yisrael and the Midbar. So that maybe is deraisa. Maybe even that's not so clear. But regular tchumen, all the sugyas that we're learning now in the Yomi, all those sugyas are on the midrabanan. All the psukim that was quoted only as machtas b'yamot. So the Mishnah says that the only way to get a shofar is to go out of the tchum. That's also a problem. There was a famous story that the Taz tells in Hilchos Shofar that there was a town that Apparently, I think one of the non-Jews stole the shofar. There's one shofar town. One of the non-Jews wanted to get the Jews all riled up. The Mamash stole the shofar before Shoshana. The Mamash didn't have a shofar. The closest shofar was the next town. The problem was out of the Tchum. So they couldn't go. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to violate the din of Tchum. So there was a strange end to the story that Taz writes. But that year, Rosh Hashanah was Thursday and Friday. So they did blow shofar neither on Thursday nor on Friday. And then late in the afternoon, they have mincha. They have a couple of Shabbos. That's not my room. And then it was still an hour before dark. And all of a sudden, someone came running in with the shofar. I don't know. They found the shofar. They returned the shofar. Or for the next town, somebody came. I mean, I don't know what happened exactly. But the mice of the town describes that someone came running in with the shofar at the town. They had already finished Meir for Shabbos. The question was, could they blow shofar now? Blow shofar now? They were just a couple Shabbos. You can't do blow. You can't blow shofar in Shabbos. So the Taz raised the whole discussion. Maybe it was a Kabbalah Shabbos betos. They would have known that they would have gotten a shofar in that interim now before Shkia. So they never would have been a Kabbalah Shabbos. So maybe a Kabbalah Shabbos betos is not binding. It's a whole discussion the post about what to do that particular year. But again, the bottom line is that the violate he assumed outright, whether he assumed the rice or he assumed the rabbanon, that's out of the question. The question is, why is that a problem? Why don't you take that attitude that almost like essay the chalosa says, so to speak? The same way when you have a clash between a mitzvah's essay and a nisser, it's like tzitzis and shatnas, but tzitzis override shatnas. Or other examples of essay the chalosa say. Why don't you apply that here also? That it's a losa say. It's not even real losa, it's a losa say with the rabbanon. It's a nisser the rabbanon of climbing a tree. It's a nisser the rabbanon of going to the tchum. It's a nisser the rabbanon of moving books, whatever the issue about it is. You have a essay, Yichalos essay. Let the mitzvah's essay of Kishayfar push off the issue of the Rabbanan. Or in our case, the simple thing, let the mitzvah of Yeshiva Basuka push off the issue of the Rabbanan of carrying in an area that's only a Kabbalah, an area that's not surrounded by walls. On the other hand, it's not really just around the Araisa. Let's say, for example, the Shabbat be tonight. The guy realizes tonight, he told him to leave whatever food he can in the sukkah safely, but let's say he could, whatever. He didn't leave any food in the sukkah. He's got all his chalas in his house, across the street. The only way to get to the sukkah is to violate it, the rabbanon. So what should he do? Say, if there would be a goy around, a goy do it for him, it would be a double the rabbanon for mitzvah. No goy around, nobody around, whatever it is. Nobody's coming to help him. So bottom line is he permitted to violate it, the rabbanon, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, the rice, the sukkah? I would have thought maybe essay is essay docha quote unquote los essay. If it's essay is docha los essay is the rabban the raises kavacham which we docha and los essay with the rabban. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses that and negates that scenario. In that sugya, the Gemara says that no, you cannot apply essay docha los essay under those circumstances. The Gemara gives one reason and the Rishonim in on another possible reason. The Gemara explains that the reason why you can't apply essay docha los essay is for the following reason. The Gemara says in a few places, Shabbos and Psochim, that Yvamis, that the principle of Esei Docha Lo Sase has a very, very important limitation. One is that Ein Esei Docha Asei Velo Sase. Let's say on the level of Deraisa, if you have Darbonim for Psochim, what would the din be? If you have a mitzvah Deraisa on the one hand, the mitzvah's Esei, and then you have on the other side, you have a Lo Sase, but it's not just a Lo Sase. If you violate this Lo Sase, you're also in violation of a mitzvah essay as well. Sometimes I'm not allowed to do something because the Torah says lo sasa such and such. Sometimes I'm not allowed to do something because the Torah formulates the prohibition beloshen asay. And sometimes I'm not allowed to do something because the Torah formulates the prohibition in both ways. That's what's called an asay vilo sasa. So let's say, for example, doing melacha and yantif. Even Shabbos is even more complicated. Let's say doing melacha and yantif. So if a person does melacha and yantif, he does belacha that's not covered by bitoich, not echol nefesh. So the guy goes ahead and he does the laundry, leaving out Shabbos. It's yantif. He goes ahead and does the laundry on yantif. So that's a violation of halos. It's a komalach zavod lo sasu. In addition to that, it's also a violation of Shabbosim, that yantif is supposed to be a Shabbosim. The Torah says yantif has to be a day of refraining from halacha, a day of resting from halacha. So a person who does belacha on yantif is not only in violation of the halos, say, he's also in quote-unquote violation of the mitzvah of Shabbos. So that's a whole new category of halacha. So comes the Gemara and says that asay is docha los asay, but asay is not docha asay and los asay together. Gemara gives one of the examples is that there's a mitzvah of shreifas kochim. Let's say I'm eating a carbon and then some of it is left over, becomes nosar. So there's a mitzvah be'esh tishro for mechulim in the Torah to burn the noser. So the Gemara says, I'm not allowed to burn the noser on Yom Tov, because that would be, you can't say, I say, dochel osa say, because the mitzvah essay is just one mitzvah, and the doing malacha on Yom Tov is an essay at a los essay. Why it's not covered by mitochen, that's another story. Maybe we're going to get that hopefully in the Pesachim Shurim later on the year. But the Gemara says, the Feirish, that one of the reasons why you can't burn kachim on Yom Tov is because ein asei docha asei velos asei. That the isser doing malacha on Yom Tov is a twofold isser, it's a two-pronged isser. It's a lav as well as an isser essay. So the essay of kachim, surface kachim, has no koyach, doesn't have the ability to override those two isurim combined together. Here's a lomdish machlekes mishanim as to what that means exactly. Is pshat that basically the essay is docha the los essay, but it's still also to burn the kachim because there's still an isser essay against you. So it's like one cancels the other, but there's still an isser essay there. Or do I say no, that whenever there's an isser essay there, that's considered to be like a los essay hachomor. The same way the Gemara says, you don't say, I say, docha los essay, the los essay has courage to it, because it's a higher level kind of an isser. So whenever you have a los essay that's accompanied by an essay, it's the los essay is not nitel adhichi. As I love the Shemachlekes, Machlekes, the Riva and Rabbeinu Yosef, 2 days in Tosfos. Now, what the lomdus of that din is, why is it that an essay can't be docha an essay, nafka min ladina? But Achrekes Lesiko, that's the din, that an essay can't be an essay at a los essay. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, therefore you cannot apply Esed Echalosa say by Yom Tov in terms of climbing up the tree to get the shofar, going out the tchum or whatever, or moving the muktza to get the shofar. Because when you climb up the tree on Yom Tov, you're in violation of an Esed Echalosa say. Now, the truth to be told, they're not deraisas, Esed Echalosa say, because climbing a tree is not an Esed deraisa. We call the Tikkun Rabbani Kein deraisa Tikkun. So when Chazal made the Takona, they made the gezeira that you're not allowed to climb trees on Yom Tov. What they said is that although min haTorah climbing a tree is not called kamalach zevet los asu, but the Rabbanan it is. When you climb a tree on Yom Tov, even if you didn't pluck anything, you didn't break a branch, at the end of the day, the very act of climbing a tree on Yom Tov is a blatant violation of kamalach zevet los asu and the love of the Rabbanan, as well as a blatant violation of shabbosan and shavis melacha and love of the Rabbanan. So the climbing of the tree is an assay and a los assay, and the assay of tkiyah shofar is only an assay. So ein assay docha, assay velos assay. The same way that on a level of deraisa, tzareifus kachim can't be docha the assay the los assay of malacha mamash on Yom Tov, on a level of derabanan, because the tikkun rabbanan gave deraisa tikkun, the mitzvah assay of tkiyah shofar wouldn't have the ability to be docha the assay and the los assay together. So the chora, that reason in and of itself is enough reason to prevent the person from carrying in order to facilitate the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. So even if, let's say, tonight, when there's a chi of gom in a Torah, to, well, it's like keshofa, there's a chi of gom, it's not rishos, the chi of gom to eat the sukkah tonight, if it would be a regular Yom Tov, it would obviously not be a shayla, but here it's a shayla violating an isser, the rabbanon of Shabbos, because again, in a Torah, it's not rishos, it's not a Torah, allowed to carry the legamri. But the rabbanon is not allowed to carry there. So if a person would carry in this area that's not surrounded properly by mechitzas, that would be an iser gama midrabbanon. That would be a derabbanon dikah losasik abalacha. That would be a derabbanon dikah tishbos, because there's a mitzvah essay and Shabbos as well. That would be a double violation. You can't say essay the chalos essay when you're dealing with something which is an essay and a los essay. That's problem number one. But then there's an additional problem of applying essay docha los essay, and here the Rishonim point out in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that strange, the Gemara didn't mention this reason. Some Rishonim say the Gemara just mentioned one reason. There are multiple reasons why essay docha los essay wouldn't apply here. One of the other reasons why essay docha los essay wouldn't apply here is that this is missing one of the basic criteria of essay docha los essay. That's what the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Yevamos and the end of Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that a say docha los essay is only applies when you have what's called bi'idna, when the two actions are at the same time, when they're simultaneous. Say, for example, the issue of tzitzis. So tzitzis is not just one of the examples of essay docha los essay, according to many, it's the model, according to many, but in that steel shirt, that's the example that Torah gives. The Torah says there's an issue of wearing shatnez. The Torah says there's a mitzvah of tzitzis. So sometimes you have a situation where the two come to clash. The way we wear tzitzis today, there's no clash ever, because we have We have, let's say a person's wearing a woolen baggage and he has woolen strings. That's a shanis. Person has a cotton baggage and he's wearing woolen strings. That's also not shanis. The only time that there's a violation of shanis is if you're wearing a linen baggage and woolen strings. Why would you put on woolen strings? Why don't you just put on linen strings? This can be made of either wool or linen. If you have other garments, let's say you have a cotton baggage, then you can make cotton strings also. So there are two different sets. Either you can make wool or linen strings. Those are for sure good, no matter what you're wearing, no matter what the material of the baggage is. Or if you make the material of the baggage itself, so Merlin's up, so that would also be okay. So here, let's say I have a linen baggage. Why would I make woolen strings? It's so silly. Why not just make linen strings? The answer is because you can't fulfill tzitzis in its entirety in that way, because you're supposed to fulfill tzitzis by wearing tchelis, even though tchelis is not ma'akev, but the correct way of fulfilling them is just to wear tchelis. The tchelis is not just a color, tchelis is a material as well. In order to be kosher tchelis, it has to be the proper blue-colored woolen string. You can't make a blue-colored linen string, blue-colored cotton string. That's not called tchelis in halacha. So whenever you have a four-cornered linen baggage, the halacha dictates you must wear tchelis, and you must violate shanis. How can you do that? How can it then be that I'm going to violate the issue of shanis? That's what the Gemara Yavama says. That's called essay. That's according to many. That's the source. And the fact that the Torah says l'soba shanis, and then it says gedir das l'chol, it says tzitzis right after the mitzvah of shanis, that teaches us that tzitzis is in fact overrides its doiched shanis. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that since that's the model of essay, l'chol also say all applications have to meet the criteria of that model. One of the criteria of that model is that it has to be the idna. It has to be at the same time. Here, at the same moment that I'm violating shatnez, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzis. So it's simultaneous. The Gemara says that anytime you have a situation where I'm going to violate the law now and then 10 minutes later I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah essay, but that falls short. That is not called as in the Chalosa says, and that's what the Rishayim, the Ran, adds on in the second Rosh Hashanah. That would have potentially been another reason why it would have been inappropriate to apply the principle of Esed Chalosa in the case of the climbing of the tree for the shofar. It means it's in theory the guy's going to be Yossi shofar, but he's not blowing the shofar as he's climbing the tree. First he's climbing the tree, getting the shofar, and then 10 minutes later he's going to blow the shofar. So you can't apply the principle of Esed Chalosa say. Because that's not the idna, it's not simultaneous. Referring that same Sumara would apply to the case of the sukkah. We started off with the lumdus by saying, oh, let the fellow carry, it's only a karmel, it's only a drabanan, big deal, what's the big deal? Why don't we say that for the purpose of the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, sorry, for the purpose of the mitzvah of shidduch sukkah, those would be sufficient grounds to violate an issa drabanan. So the Gemara gave one reason. The Gemara said, no, ain't essay docha, says los, and the Rani is on, you show me another reason possibly. The other reason is that it falls short in terms of the idna. So again, I think it's partial that in this case there would be no justification, there would be no rationale to permit the violating of an issa drabanan of carrying outright in order to just simply facilitate eating in the sukkah. If there would be a non-Jew that was available, so then that would be okay. That would be a merely akum. So we paskin la'alocha, machlekes rishon. We paskin la'alocha. That you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something that itself is only a derabbanan, if it's a makom mitzvah. Yeah, not everyone agrees to that, but that's how we make it like that shita. That to ask a non-Jew to do a derabbanan for you to help us facilitate a mitzvah, that's fine. So over here, there will be a non-Jew available. You'll be able to ask a non-Jew. Obviously, the optimal would be to avoid all this, leave the food and the supper before it, but maybe it was a practical, whatever. I don't even get to all the details of this. But whatever can be avoided has to be avoided. But if one is stuck and the only way to get food to the sukkah would be to have the non-Jew carry it, that would for sure be okay. What if there is no non-Jew around and the mice and the guy didn't leave the food and now he's not stuck, what are you going to do? So then he's potter. The person doesn't have a sukkah. He tried everything. I told him to try to see if they put together some sort of pesach to build an area around them. I don't know how the area that they were. If a person did everything they can, the mice said, oh, it's not a desert island, and there's no sukkah. A person's not allowed to take the attitude before sukkah, so I'm not going to build a sukkah and we'll worry about it on sukkah. That's ridiculous, but he did what he wanted for the kid. The kid lives in a place, this is never the best he can do. So he doesn't have access to a sukkah, and for whatever reason, he can't leave the food there, so he can't. So if a person doesn't have a sukkah, then they're not looking to starve, and they're allowed to eat. The same way you have, it's called Teshu Ketaduru, that if a person's allowed to, allowed to eat. Let's say the sukkah is not accessible. Let's say the sukkah is not comfortable. The sukkah is pushing out there for him. You can't eat it. So you're not mechuyav to starve if you don't have the sukkah. You have the sukkah. So you're, the person is going to be potter for the mitzvah sukkah, and he would be permitted to eat in his house. But again, the option of potentially carrying in order to avoid the issur, so that would clearly be out of the question for a variety of reasons. Again, we this gezeirah shemi abiredah anamis has definitely been a major motif in terms of the month of Tishrei. It's something that we take the issur of tzoah so seriously on Shabbos that it prevented us from blowing the shofar, and now we take it again so seriously tomorrow. It's going to prevent us from carrying the lulav. And even though the issur of carrying it, we're talking about it, not been in their eyes, it's at worst, it'll be an issur the rabbanon. I call the tikkun rabbanon kid their eyes. I think those who learned the fiyam erevin, 90% of erevin is also with the rabbanon. And we take the utmost seriousness as well. We take with such seriousness that this is the rabbanon that you're not even allowed to fully miss their eyes because of it. And again, even though there would have been a theoretical lomdus that would have propelled us in the direction of possibly doing it, but it's overridden by these two concerns that Esedachalos can't apply when you have an Esedachalos, even though it's not a real Esedachalos, it's only the Rabbanon, come and take everybody gave their Esedachalos, as well as you can't apply Esedachalos when you have a situation where it doesn't meet the criteria of being in, which obviously would be lacking in this situation. Okay? So wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Yom Tov, and everyone should enjoy the Yom Tov and try to make themselves and the family. There are a lot of factors that are